Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, come experience life as we know it, as some of you should know it. Yeah, yeah. Place, Marcy, Brooklyn. Action. Well, y'all know the action. Got the shorty on my block, always clocking my rocks. He likes the style of profile, I think he won the mock. He likes the way I walk, he see my money talking. The honey talking, I'm the hottest nigga in New York. And I see his hunger pains, I know his blood boils. He wanna run with me, I know this kid'll be loyal. I watched him make a few wins, the Converse little sneakers and gear. Then it's just enough for re-up again. I see myself in his eyes, I move from Levi's.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Chillin' with Cheese show. Had a great show lined up for you guys tonight. We'll take a little left turn tonight. So you can sit back, relax. Feel free to call into the show, 718-305-6496. 718-305-6496. Excuse my voice. I'm trying to get over a little cold, so forgive me for that. But nevertheless, we'll have a try to get my points across, and I hope you guys can understand. So, yeah, it should be a great show lined up. Before I start the show, I want to give a shout out to one of my friends who from my old neighborhood who's had a procedure today. My man Mark Mingo had a stem cell procedure today. So, from all accounts, everything is looking good. So, wish his whole family, you know, all love and support. So, you know, big up to my man Fudd, so I hope he's feeling good. So, yeah, I wanted to get that cracking before we even started the show. Because of social media, you kind of meet really interesting people around the world, and I've gotten to know some really good people my first year and a half doing my boxing blog, whether it's on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or at live events. And that's the best part I like about my blog. It allows me to meet interesting people from around the world. And over the last couple of months, I read a really interesting dude on Instagram. His name is Blake the Beast McKernan. And he's a boxer. He'll be making his pro debut out in Sacramento March 25th at the DoubleTree Hotel. So anybody out there in NorCal, check my man out. He's, you know, really grinding, doing his thing, and we'll have him on the show. He'll be my guest. He'll be calling in about 5 or 10 minutes. So really look forward to talking with him. You know, you meet a lot of people who, no matter what time of their life, they want to live out their dream, and his dream is to become, you know, a champion. He's cruiserweight, and you know, I respect the hustle and the grind the man is putting in. And I always said when I do a blog, I didn't want it just to be about the big names that have already been established. I want to also, you know, shed light on the guys who are just starting out in the pro game. I mean, he's been boxing a long time, so, but for his pro debut, you know, I want to give him a little credit and a little shine and, you know, the respect that he deserves. So, yeah, we're going to get a crack on with that. Also, later on in the show, we'll talk about some of the big upcoming events. Andre Ward will be in the ring in a couple of weeks against Sullivan Barrera, and I think that'll be a really good fight, which that'll also be out in Cali and Oakland. And I'm interested to see how SOG Andre Ward looks against a really, really good opponent and Sullivan Barrera, so I don't take that matchup very lightly at all. Of course, Ward is on many people's pound-for-pound list, in top two or three in the world, but he's gonna have his work cut out for him that night. So we look forward to talking about that. Also, talk a little bit about Vasyl Lomachenko and the possibility of him fighting Nicholas Walters on June 11th. What makes that interesting is that that date has already been established for Felix Verdejo, rising Puerto Rican star who will be on that same card at the theater in Madison Square Garden, if that card, will be made. And the only problem I have with that is that I think they should have it in a big arena at this point. I think Verdejo's gained a great following in New York City area, and I think Vasyl Lomachenko, who I've stated a few times, I think is the most talented boxer in the world. I really do. And I think you get these guys together in that matchup with Nicholas Walters as the main event, I think that's worthy of being in the main arena at MSG, the Mecca of boxing. So we'll talk about that. Of course, April 9th, Manny Pacquiao, Timothy Bradley, my man Manny Perez out there, Eric Duran out there in Colorado, his friend. He'll be also on that card. That should be a great fight that night. So hopefully I'll be out there and look forward to that. And I don't know whether this will be Manny's last fight. Supposedly, it may set up a match with, a couple of other opponents they may have in mind, whether it's a Terrence Crawford or whoever. We get the winner of Bradley versus Pacquiao. I'm interested to see how Pacquiao will bounce back after a long layoff, after coming away with the loss against Floyd Mayweather. So, be interesting. He's still one of the great fighters of all time, and you never can take him lightly. Of course, Timothy Bradley looked really, really good against Brandon Rios in his last fight. So we'll see how that goes and how the Teddy Atlas effect, see if that will continue. But, yeah, man, it should be a great time of boxing coming up next couple of months. Of course, you got the big clash in May with Amir Khan and Canelo Alvarez in Las Vegas. You got two huge fan followings, and we'll be in the forefront for that fight card. Mexican star Saul Canelo Alvarez will be taking on Amir Khan, of course, from the UK. Of course, UK fans are crazy, great following, so it'll be a buzz out in the desert in Las Vegas, so look forward to that. But yeah, if you want to call in, you got any questions, you want to talk about anything, you want to have any questions for Blake, 718-305-6496, 718-305-6496. Welcome in any and all callers. As I stated later on the show, I will not hold it just to boxing at that point. We'll talk about some of those upcoming events, but you can call in and talk about whatever sport you like. I'm well-rounded guy, so I really, love just talking sports in general. So, yeah, big night, and glad you're joining me. And, again, 718-305-6496. Also wanted to talk about a couple things as far as Chris Algieri and his matchup with Errol Spence, which will be coming up in about a month, a little over a month. And we spoke about Errol Spence last week, and I really, really think this guy's a talented fighter. In my opinion, out of the whole PBC roster, and we talked about last week, he would be my number one fighter in the PBC roster. I think the guy's just a young, fantastic, highly skilled fighter. And Chris Algieri, who's a highly skilled fighter himself, will present an interesting test for Errol because of his boxing skill. He's not a guy that's going to knock you out with a one punch or whatever, but he'll finesse his way around the ring and jab you, great foot movement, ring generalship, and it'll be a different test for Errol. I'm interested to see how he will attack that fight. Whether he'll choose to go right at Chris Algieri, cut the ring off, and try to wear him down. If he'll try to take his time and just, stalk him slowly. So I'm interested with that. Of course, that'll be at the Barclays in Brooklyn. home, it'll be probably an Algeria kind of crowd because, you know, it's his home state. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, caller, you on the line. Welcome to the show.
What's going on, brother? It's Blake McKernan.
Hey, Blake, how you doing? Everybody, this is Blake the Beast McKernan, man. Glad you called in, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I appreciate the invite.
No, not at all. And I was telling all the listeners that I come across some really interesting people doing my boxing blog, and I came across you, and I saw you putting in work. And if anybody is out there, check them out, the Beast McKernan on Instagram. And, yeah, man, I was really impressed. And tell everybody, you know, what you got coming up as far as your pro debut.
Okay. Yeah, man, so, you know, I've been fighting as an amateur for the last few years since I got out of the military, you know, and I have my upcoming pro debut here on March 25th in Sacramento. You know, I'll be fighting as a cruiserweight in the cruiserweight division. I'll be fighting a guy that already has four fights. You know, so I'll be fighting a guy that's kind of somewhat of a little bit of a veteran, has some ring experience, but you know, I'm pretty much focused and going to make sure I go in there and do what I need to do.
Right. And for everybody that doesn't, like you stated, he'll be at the Doubletree out in Sacramento on March 25th. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Sacramento, is that your hometown, Blake?
Yeah, it is. I'm actually born and raised in Sacramento. This is where I've been my entire life.
That's cool. That's good. That's good, man. How did you, and I'll go backtrack, how did you get into boxing? What made you start to, you know, get into the sport?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I first got introduced getting into boxing when I was about 10 years old. You know, I was that kid when I was younger. I always got picked on. So I was always fighting a lot in school, man. So my mom kind of at the time thought it'd be a good idea for me to try to maybe harness that energy into something more positive. So, you know, I got introduced into going to boxing, and, you know, I just took into it right away, man, and I've been sticking with it ever since.
Wow. And you were actually California State Amateur Champion. Now, what was that experience like?
Yeah, so in 2015, I was ranked, you know, Northern and Central California State Champion in the amateurs. You know, it was a good experience. You know, I was able to perform in front of a bigger crowd to get used, you know, to having more people watching me. And, you know, it was just, in a sense, a stepping stone to get me ready for the pro links.
And what's crazy, and everybody who knows boxing knows that California has always been a hotbed for talented boxers. And obviously Blake is one of them. And it, in your experience, did you have any fighters that you went up against during your quest to be amateur champion that you really thought, I'll see this person down the road again, that they were really talented? And how'd you get through that experience?
To be honest, man, I'm not trying to take anything away from anybody that I've fought. You know, I feel like a lot of the people, you know, there's people in amateurs that just want to compete, you know, to say that they fought as an amateur with a golden glove. And then
right.
You get cats like myself that are kind of few and far between that really take into amateurs to get as much experience as possible to get ready for the pros. And that was why I kind of took the amateurs. And, you know, I have people always come up to me all the time that my fighting ability and how I fought and the way that I trained, I was already training and in the mindset fighting like a pro, but I was fighting as an amateur. So in my eye, I kind of felt like I was ahead of a lot of the people that I had competed against just because I had been focused and training on a different level in my mind.
Right. Now, growing up, as you stated, you know, you started young, you know, getting into the sport. Were there any fighters that you patterned your fight style after growing up and to this point right now? What were some of the guys that, you know, you were like, you took a little bit of this or that from growing up?
Yeah, man. So growing up, you know, obviously I watched a lot of the Floyd Mayweather, you know, the Bernard Hopkins, Roy Jones Jr., Vander Holyfield, you know, the Mike Tyson, the heavyweights, when I was growing up in the 90s, was like a big era for heavyweights. You know, you had Tommy Machine Gun Morrison. You know, there's a lot of great heavyweights at that time. So, you know, some of the people that I really took after growing up during that time were Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson. Those are still today two of my favorite fighters. And the reason being is when both of them guys got in the ring, they completely outclassed all of their opponents. They were so hungry, the ferociousness. They just, every time that they stepped in the ring, they already knew, you can see it in their eyes, that they came there to win the fight. And that was something that I love seeing, man, because me, myself, my entire life, I've been a fighter in life in general, man, so I could really kind of take into that mindset that they had getting ready and getting in the ring for those fights, man. So their fighting ability, I feel like in a sense, is a lot like mine because they're bangers and they're not really afraid to show that or get in the ring right with anybody. And I'm the same way, man. You know, anybody that gets put in front of me, I might be tested at times, but I definitely won't stare away from anybody.
Nah, and that was going to be my next question. As far as your fighting style, do you consider yourself, you know, a banger, boxer, puncher, you know, counter puncher kind of fighter? And you stated that you're a banger. And that's also conducive to people enjoying your fights. I know that, you know, were you always that way in the amateurs as well, as far as a crowd-pleasing kind of fighter?
Yeah, man. So even in the amateurs, obviously, you know, with each fight, I got a little bit more experience in, you know, performing in front of a crowd. It could be one of those things like when most people have a thing with stage fright, with public speaking, you know. So being able to perform and fight in front of a crowd like that, you know, it can get people to tense up, or, you know, in the midst of the fight, you forget about sometimes about what you're doing. So with each fight, you know, I've kind of gained a little bit more knowledge and experience. But ever since my first amateur fight, I've always been that fighter, a go-getter. I'm going to come straight at you. You can try to hit me as hard as you want. You ain't going to faze me or stop me. And
right,
I just know that my power is something that is a force to be reckoned with.
I heard that. Now, of course, growing up in California, and I want to say, I want to bring this up because I think this is very important, because Blake just made an interesting point in how he's always a fighter. And that, this young man here was a war veteran, which is a very, very proud honor that, you know, anybody in this country would be proud of. How does that experience growing up as always being a fighter who always had to earn your way translate into going into the military and, of course, you know, being in harm's way as a war vet?
For sure, man. So, you know, it all started at an early age. You know, I'm the youngest of four children. And, you know, in a sense, my mom and dad were kind of present, but they weren't present, if you know what I mean. So growing up, I was the run of the group. And I was always, you know, having to kind of raise myself in a sense. And the things I couldn't do on my own, you know, my older siblings helped me out with. But just kind of always having to fight and fend for myself and kind of raise myself in a sense to not really be a quitter. I always had to fight for everything that I wanted. So as I got older, you know, unfortunately, my dad fell victimized to this prison system. And when I was 8 years old, I just finally made the decision, like, hey, I'll finally become a man. I don't have anybody, nor have I ever really had anybody around to teach me how to be a man. I think, you know, joining the military would be a good way to help me mature and help me teach, you know, learn a lot about a lot of life lessons that you could be, you know, taught and learned. So I joined the military. You know, I instantly knew that I was going to be going overseas, and it wasn't anything that I was shy or was trying to stay away from. I was looking forward to it. And, you know, honestly, man, even serving overseas and being stateside, I, you know, had the privilege of meeting and serving with some of the greatest people till this day that I've ever met. And, you know, it was definitely an eye-opening experience, and it definitely matured me a lot as a person.
Wow, that's a great story, man. And it's a testament to you and, you know, what you've been through and, you know, how you carry yourself. And I'm sort of like a, not a closet, like, boxing historian, but there have been some of the greatest fighters who served in our military. One of my favorites of all time was Joe Louis, of course. And, you know, he came out of it and he said that was a great experience for him. So I totally understand where you're coming from. Now, of course, that translated, I guess, when you got out and, you know, you check out this man's Instagram, he has a beautiful family. Is that something that you put in your mind that, you know, you wanted to be a great dad for your kids and you just wanted to always be there for them?
You know, honestly, man, growing up, I never really had much. Like I said, my parents, my mom and dad were present, but they were never really around. So, you know, growing up, I've always wanted to, in a sense, you know, be able to provide for my wife or my kids, you know what I'm saying, and be able to raise them right, how I thought, you know what I'm saying, children should be raised and teach them the appropriate tools in life, you know, to help them better themselves. So, you know, I would definitely say that I've definitely been through my fair share of turmoil throughout my life, but I've always taken everything as a learning experience, man. So, you know, right now I happen to be in a great relationship. I have a beautiful son and two stepdaughters, and I have a beautiful woman that I'm with right now that's very supportive. And, you know, right now I just really want to focus on going as far as I can in my career until I literally can't fight anymore. And what I would ultimately like to happen, what I'm going to make happen, is that I'm going to make sure that I become a world champion. And, you know, once I kind of push the button and keep on accomplishing more and more tasks, I'm just going to keep on going until I can't go no more, man. And then within all that, you know, I just want to be able to make enough money to be able to provide for my family, man. So hopefully everything happens in due time, and, you know, patience is a virtue, man. So I'm just trying to sit back and wait for my time to come.
Yeah, man, that's number one. That's an awesome testimony. And, you know, you're to be commended and respected for that. And it's not often, a lot of people, you know, they go to their day jobs and they feel like they can't live out their dream. And I respect you for going for yours. And I know it's a grind, and I know you know, you work and you train and you work and you train, family. Give me a day in the life of Blake McCurdy. When you wake up in the morning, what's your day like?
Honestly, man, my day is crazy, and it really blows a lot of people away with how much I do in the day. So, to be honest, man, my day starts about 6:15 in the morning, Monday through Friday. I get up, get myself ready for work. I get my son ready for school. You know, I take my son to school. I still have a job right now. I go to work. I work all day. Right now, it's here 5:30 Pacific time. I'm just getting off work. As we're speaking, I'm on my way right now to go pick up my son and go straight to the gym. You know, I'm straight from the gym. I go to, you know, my training, my boxing training. By the time I get home, it's 12:30 at night, and I get to bed about 1:30, so I'm usually sleeping only about 4 to 4.5 hours a night, and I'm not moving the rest of the time, man. So I'm just very hungry and focused right now, man. It's like my youth is obviously something that is beneficial for me right now. I feel like I don't need much sleep. I'll sleep once I finally have kind of climbed that mountain and gotten to where I want to in life. But my eyes are just kind of set on a goal, man, and I'm not going to stop until I get there. So, you know, one thing I've kind of learned in life is they say some of the most successful people in life never sleep. And it's true, man, because if you got 24 hours in a day, you don't really got too much time to waste if you want to become successful. So every hour of every day I'm grinding, man, so I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing, and, you know, persistence will pay off.
That's right, and that's one of the reasons I've always had affection for fighters is because people don't realize the grind that you guys go through. A lot of people see, and I talked about this with the great Larry Holmes, and he was saying when he started out, people don't realize and they don't see what goes on until you get a lot of money. When you get a lot of money, then they say, oh, it's glitz and glamour, but they don't see you, you know, in your case, you know, picking up your son after work, taking him to the gym, getting home, getting 4 hours of sleep. They don't understand that grind, and that's to be respected as well. But are there any things, and on the lighter side, do you have any hobbies, or I know you grind all the time, but what do you do to relax or to enjoy yourself?
Honestly, man, you know, like I said, I always try to stay busy. Number one thing to me when I'm not, you know, at work or in the gym training or boxing is family is very important to me, man. So with the little bit of time that I do get, I love to spend time with my son and with my family. So, you know, the very minimal time that I do have, that's usually where it's spent.
Right. I understand that. Now, your fight is only 15, was it 14 or 15 days away? 15 days away.
Yes. Yep.
Are you getting any of the first fight jitters at this point, man? Or how, what's your mindset like?
Honestly, man, to be completely honest, every time that I get ready for a fight, it never really phases me. I feel like when I get told and I'm so far away, I just, in my mind, I'm like, all right, time to start putting in that work. It doesn't really start to hit me until I'm about 3 weeks away from a fight to where I really get in that mindset and that mentality that I'm going to become an animal, destroy this dude when I get in the ring. My mindset, when I step in that ring, I don't care who you are, what nationality you are, how big you think you are, I own the ring and I'm going to do what I need to make sure that I get that win. And, you know, I'm going to make sure that I leave that ring victorious, man. So 3 weeks out from a fight, you know, I wouldn't really say I get any pre-fight jitters. I think at times that I doubt myself based on the fact, I'm always wondering how much time and effort my opponents are putting in the gym. So in my mind, I never feel like I'm putting in enough, so I always train harder. Right now, you know, I'm only getting ready for my pro debut, but every fight's just as important as the last. I'm training about 5.5-6 hours a day. And every time I step in the gym, I go harder than I did the day before. And I'm going to continue to do that and keep on pushing myself because in my mind, I'm never going to be satisfied or feel like I'm in good enough shape because I always feel like there's going to be that one guy out there that is outdoing me. And I don't ever want to be outdone. So that's kind of the mentality that I have when I'm getting ready for my fight.
Yeah, and that's a mindset that all the great ones seem to have. And I've heard it from, you know, all different sports, whether it's going back to even Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. I once heard them both say that they asked them, well, why do you shoot in the gym or stay in the gym so long? Because both of them were like, because I know Larry is and I know Magic is. And that's the mindset that you have, you know, whether it's a Kobe Bryant or whoever. And all the great ones have it, and you have that focus. And I really like that, man. Is there anything you want to tell the fans out there or the people listening about, you know, your fight? And, you know, tell them again, when is it going to be, where is it going to be, where to get tickets?
For sure. So anybody that's in the Sacramento or surrounding areas, you guys are looking to attend the fight and can make it. Again, Friday, March 25th at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time at the DoubleTree Hotel in Sacramento. They can inbox me or get at me at Blake the Beast McKernan on Instagram or look me up under Blake McKernan on Facebook and contact me to purchase tickets. Outside of that, man, you know, I'm just really fortunate to be in the position that I am, God-given, that I have great health to be able to, you know, stretch the length that I'm trying to go as far as I can in this sport. So, what I want to say to everybody that's ever been there for me and has supported me thus far and still currently, you know, I got nothing but love for people that have always been there for me and just know that, hey, that I can actually, you know, in a sense, repay you guys. That's something that will be with me forever, man. So anybody that is following me, my fan base that is constantly growing, I appreciate all you guys' love and support and, you know, just follow me along my journey because big things are about to happen.
my man, and great words to live by. He's an inspiration to everybody out there doing the right thing, and taking his life by the horns and just riding. And I really respect that, man. And I don't want this to be the last, man. I mean, we connected on Instagram, man. I want you to come every fight, whether it's before or after. I want you to come on, man, and you know, keep putting the word out there. And when you get champ, be the champ. I hope you don't big time me.
never that, man. You know, I always see people all the time, man. When people have, you know, kind of get a little bit of money, you know, money changes people. You know, being somebody that's never really come from nothing, it really come right. from much. You know, I'm very thankful and grateful for everything I do have. You know, when there comes a time that I'm able to be in a position to where I'm financially stable and have, you know, all this money, the type of person I am now and the type of person I'm going to be then are going to be the same completely people, man. I would never let money change me.
My man. Well, again, I appreciate you coming on. And, again, if anything I can do to help and, you know, get the word out on you, I appreciate you. I know you got to go because I know you're about to get your training on. But I appreciate you coming through, chilling with Cheese tonight, man.
Oh, no doubt, man. I appreciate the love and support. You know, like I said, I appreciate you reaching out to me on social media. You know, everybody crosses paths for a reason. So, like you said, this definitely won't be the last time that we talk. You know, I'll continue to stay in touch with you, man, along the path of my career, man. So I appreciate it again, and I will definitely link up soon.
No doubt. And again, Blake the Beast McKernan, be March 25th, Doubletree Hotel in Sacramento. My man, big up to you. Much respect. And I'll be talking to you soon, man.
All right, my man. Take care of yourself.
All right.
All
right. Yeah, it was a great, great interview with Blake. He's a really down-to-earth guy. And as I stated earlier, it's good to meet genuine good people through social media. We get, you know, we get stuck on all this negative stuff we see and ridiculous stuff we see on social media, and I choose not to entertain that. I like to, you know, broaden the horizon and, you know, get in touch with real people, and that the everyday boxing fan or everyday person can identify with. We can't always identify with a Kim Kardashian or, you know, Lady Gaga, but we can. Everybody can identify with a war veteran, grinding, boxing, working 8-9 hours a day, going to the gym for 5 or 6 hours a day, taking care of his son. Everybody out there can identify with that, and you can do nothing but respect the man for. So I appreciate him, you know, taking a few minutes out of his day while he's on the way to the gym. He ain't sitting in the crib. He on his way to the gym from work, and he took his time out to call me. So, you know, I respect that, and we'll definitely have him on the show again pretty soon coming up. But, yeah, I talked about it earlier. I don't know. I'm really interested to see what Andre Ward has in store out in Oakland, because I think this is a very dangerous fight. And you know, people can say, oh, this is going to be a cakewalk. I really don't think so. Sullivan Barrera is a strong guy, and I'm telling you, he's a very, very strong guy. And this is one of the fights that I'm really, really interested in. So I want to see what's going to happen with that. Also, this cannot be understated. The whole Gennady Golovkin, Ramon Chocolatito Gonzalez duo have already sold 10,000 seats, 10,000 tickets for their fight at the Forum April 23rd in L.A., Inglewood, California. And I've been to both of their, you know, twin bills, as you know, and I believe that these guys put on a wonderful show, and the fans are really into it. I mean, it's almost like it's a boxing / football crowd. The fight card last May at the Forum with Chocolatito and Golovkin was absolute magic. I mean, the fans were so loud, and it almost made you feel like it was a Laker game, an old Showtime days, you know, at the Great Western Forum. And these guys, you know, ultra-talented fighters, and looking forward to that. Dominic Wade, of course, will be taking on Triple G, and people are wondering whether a Golovkin win and a Canelo win will propel a fight between them later on in the year. I don't know. I think that's still up in the air. Who knows what that's going to, you know, if that's going to take place. Triple G has always been hard to get an opponent against, and his 30 knockout win fight streak, whatever it is, you know, one of the reasons why. I mean, he comes in and does his business and gets out of there. So, you know, looking forward to that. Dominic Wade is no slouch either. I'm a defeated fighter. And, you know, I've heard from all accounts that he's looking great in camp. And I'm interested to see. He's not going to come in there and lay down, that's for sure. So, again, we'll see what that's about. And, again, I have a few minutes left in the show. See, we got a lot of, you know, listeners out there, but feel free to call in 718-305-6496. 718-305-6496. Canelo and Amir Khan. And this is a fight that a lot of people think that Canelo is going to really, you know, just come in there and blast them. I'm not so sure about that. Amir Khan is a slick fighter, fast fighter, and very talented. And I want to see how Canelo adjusts to that. I know Canelo is a far better fighter than he was 2 or 3 years ago, but a couple of people that gave him problems, it was Landy Lara and Floyd Mayweather, fighters who, you know, are really quick and had great footwork and were able to maneuver around the ring. So I want to see how Canelo adjusts to Amir Khan's style. But make no mistake that the boxing world will be paying attention, because you're going to have that whole dynamic of the Mexican population and the UK population tuned in for that big fight night in Las Vegas in May. So, and also it's, Mexican Independence Weekend is an ultra magnetic weekend out in Las Vegas. So it should be a great show. So, yeah, those are the fights that the main fights coming up. That already spoke on Chris Algieri and Errol Spence. Also on the backtrack to last week, and a really good fight that was on HBO. And I think people should take note of it. Saddam Ali, who's in the in against Jesse, Saddam Ali was in the fight, in the ring against Jesse Vargas. I'm sorry, I was getting my notes back up. But yeah, that was a really tremendous fight that I thought. And Vargas looked really good, man. He came in there, and of course he has another trainer. He seems to go through trainers quite a bit, and he looked really good though. Saddam Ali, who was a, you know, a highly skilled fighter, Brooklyn native, came in early. He was, you know, pot-shotting Vargas, but Vargas seemed to take control as the rounds went on and was able to stop Ali. And I think it was a tremendous fight, far better than, I guess we can call it a heavyweight fight. I don't know what that was that took place. Tony Thompson, I think he was watching the Blair Witch Project or, you know, the Golden Girls or something, and just felt like he just wanted to smile the whole fight, which is a real turnoff to me, because I don't know, you got a chance like that of coming in and beat a fighter like Ortiz, you know, who I think is one of the best heavyweights in the world. And you got a chance to come in there in your hometown and make a, you know, make a statement, and you didn't do it. And I know it might have been short notice, but I hear a lot of fighters say, you know, they stay ready so they don't have to get ready. But I just don't understand that whole thing. And then you got a lot of heavyweight, and I think heavyweights are on the rise again. But that fight did not, in my opinion, just my opinion, I did not think that fight helped at all as far as the heavyweight, you know, people, the viewership, heavyweight viewership. I didn't think that was a good fight. So, yeah, but we'll see what happens with that. Of course, Deontay Wilder. And I don't know with him. I mean, I know. I see the Deontay Wilder is an interesting cat for me. I mean, super athletic guy. I mean, if he gets into a ring with a guy like Ortiz, it could be really interesting because he has never fought a guy who has the skill level of Ortiz. So, you know, I want to see if he's able to adjust and use more of boxing because, you know, he's able to finish guys. But if a guy is able to, you know, come in there and box him and see if he'll get frustrated, you know, so I don't know what his mindset will be as far as that's concerned. But Luis Ortiz was definitely a guy who is a high-level boxing skill as far as the heavyweight. So, again, feel free to call in, 718-305-6496, 718-305-6496. We got about 5 minutes left in the show. Of course, this is the time for March Madness, and I'm going to probably have a big March Madness show next week and have people call in and talk about their brackets and who they're picking to go all the way. And so this is always an interesting time. I always felt, me and friends of mine always felt that it should be a national holiday where all the fellas should be able to take off work and go watch March Madness. I know the ladies out there, that's not true because a lot of ladies love, you know, the whole March Madness as well. But, you know, I know the fellas are like, man, we should be able to take off and watch and, you know, enjoy it. So I know some coworkers in the past who were actually fake sick just to get out to go watch March Madness. But I won't blow them up now, but they know who they are. So, yeah, but it was really cool having Blake the Beast McKernan come on the show and talk about his upcoming fight. Again, March 25th, the Doubletree Hotel in Sacramento, California. And I'm really interested to see, you know, him put in the work, and hopefully we'll have some footage of it, and maybe he can share or someone may YouTube it and allow us to put it up. I'll definitely put it up on my like page and, you know, tweet out a link or whatever to his YouTube if the fight is available. But, yeah, man, it was real good having him on, and quite sure we'll have him on again pretty soon. But I'm going to wrap the show up for the night, and appreciate everybody listening in, and hope you enjoyed it. And again, to the next Chilling with Cheese show, this is Cheese Gardner, and I'm out.
Marcy, Brooklyn, action. Well, y'all know the action. I got the shorty on my block, always clocking my rocks. He likes the style of profile, I think he won the mock. He likes the way I walk, he see my money talking, the honey talking. I'm the hottest nigga in New York, and I see his hunger pains. I know his blood boils, he wanna run with me. I know this kid'll be loyal, I watched him make a few wins. The Converse little sneakers and gear, then it's just enough for re-up again. I see myself in his eyes, I move from Levi's, the guest of Versace. Now it's diamonds like Liberace, that's just a natural cycle. Nobody wanna be like Michael where I'm from, just them niggas who bounce from a gun. We out here trying to make our white into cold green. I could help shorty blow out like Afro Sheen, plus I could relive my days of you, which is gone. That little nigga's peak, it's time to put him on.
Come on, and hold my own weight up in my crown.
Got to lock it down, and when they rush
in my crown,
it's time to come on.
Pick up my chest and make some loot.
Got to lock it down, and when they rush
in my own loot, I'm out here slinging.
swing and bringing the drama. Trying to come up in the game and add a couple of dollar signs to my name. I'm out here serving, disturbing the peace. Life could be better like my man reclined in plush leather seats. And selling weight, I'm selling eight. Bull 16, trying to graduate to push the quarters, y'all. I ain't gon' sweat him, I'ma let him come to me. If he give me the nod, then these niggas gon' see. I'm tired of vegan out here round the clock and breaking dates and chasing crackers up the block for my pay. I'm staying fresh, so chickens check. I'm trying to step up to the next level, pushing vets through the jets. Diamonds reflect from the sun directly in your equilibrium.